Good morning and welcome to Cox Media Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. The Houston Police Department has a shortage of officers right now. The department is looking into new strategies to expand its workforce, one of them going to the military. And so with us today, we have CA Charlie Vasquez, the Assistant Chief of Police, Houston Police Department, Professional Development Command. Good morning, Chief Charlie.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So thank you very much for being here. It's great to see you. And we have Officer Jesse Medina, who is with us this morning. Hello, Jesse.
Good morning, ma'am.
Thank you very much for coming. And Officer Medina, this is really a great opportunity and to talk to you guys. First of all, the police department, you guys are losing some officers right now, and you are doing a big recruiting push. Tell me a little bit about how that's happening.
We are. Pension reform has kind of motivated some people to go out the door, and so we probably lost about 350 officers in this calendar year when we're usually losing about 240 to 250.
Oh, that's a hit.
It is. A big hit. And so we're barely keeping up with attrition. We're pushing classes through the academy, five per fiscal year, plus a lateral class, and just trying to get our numbers back up. We're below 5,200, which is really small for a city our size. When you think about Chicago's about 10,000, LA's about 15,000, New York's about 40,000.
Wow. So when you notice that there's a need and you're trying to really push, do you sit down and really kind of plot out what you're going to do to bring in new recruits? Or do you have people who are just people not applying, or the people who are applying maybe not be fulfilling the requirements? Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. We've done a lot of things. Here recently, we started going recruiting nationwide. We recruited historically black colleges, recruited women's universities, looking to diversify, even though our department's about 53% minority at this time. Radio stations we advertise, we do interviews, and any number of things. And now, we're working with Senator Cornyn's office to try and pass the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act, which will make it easier for us to hire veterans who are kind of a natural fit for the police department.
You know, that does seem to be just a natural fit, and it seems to me to be kind of an obvious thing that a veteran would be looking to getting into police work when getting out. Do they not necessarily apply on their own? Do you have to really recruit hard?
They don't. You know, I've been on about 22 years, and I came out of the military, and being a police officer was never really a plan until someone put that idea in my head. And I was actually a dispatcher with HPD, and went on a ride along and got hooked. And, you know, 22 years later, haven't regretted a single day of it. It's been the best move I ever made. But I never really thought about doing that. Nobody ever reached out to me and said, hey, you want to be a police officer? Never occurred to me. And so that's what this American Heroes Law Enforcement Act kind of does. It reaching out to people who may not have really thought about it.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act here coming up and the involvement with Senator John Cornyn. But this is just kind of a natural lead in to Officer Jesse Medina. Officer Medina, you are a veteran.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me about your service, first
He's
of all.
He's also my hero. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
So I went in, joined the Marine Corps in 2009, and then did my first deployment in 2010, and then came back briefly for about 8 months, and then redeployed in 2011, spent about 4 months there before I was injured a couple times, and then eventually made my way back home. Made it back on the 30th of December in 2011.
Welcome home, and thank you for your service.
My pleasure.
Where did you serve again?
So I was in Afghanistan. I did both my tours over there.
Both the tours in Afghanistan. And you are a wounded warrior. You're a veteran, and you tell me about that.
So I was fortunate enough to be able to walk away from both the blasts. Well, eventually walk away. So I was blown up twice. Once I was hit by a 105 command deck. Basically, they filled a 105 artillery shell with homemade explosives, and they set the blast off when I was about 5 feet away from it. So I took some small shrapnel to the face and side of my body. Then a month later, we were conducting a security patrol on Christmas Day, and then coming back to our patrol base, I stepped on a little toe popper. That's just a little 10-pounder, and then took my right leg off and a few other body parts here and there.
So you are an amputee?
Correct, yes, ma'am.
And you are a police officer?
Yes, ma'am.
actually, somebody told me about you because we have an employee here who Ernesto who has lost a leg, and that's how I kind of heard about you and your story and you being a police officer and going through the academy with a prosthetic leg, and thought it was a really super interesting story that you are a police officer. Tell me about how you decided to do that after you got home.
So I was working project management, and it just wasn't where I wanted to be. So I picked up the phone one day and called the recruiter's office, and I was like, "Hey, this is what I got. What do I need to do?" And basically, their answer was, "As long as you can meet the physical requirements, we don't care what you're missing or what you're not missing." So I went home that day and filled out the application. It took me a few tries because it's kind of lengthy, but well, I got it done and then got it submitted in, and I was able to go through the whole process without any issues. So
I love that. We don't care what you're missing. Just get over here and try it.
Well, they were a little nervous. Recruiters called up to my office, and they said, "Hey, Chief, we got this guy with one leg, wound of war. He wants to be a police officer. What do you do?" I said, "Well, process him.
Yeah.
Let's get him through." So absolutely.
Is this the first time this has happened, or is
with us it is, yes, ma'am. We were talking briefly before we came in, Jesse and I, that there was a police officer in New York just graduated their academy, double amputee.
Yeah. And now you also, this is kind of a family business for you. You have some relatives who are...
Correct. I have my brother. He's over in the West Side Division. Then my sister-in-law, she works over here downtown in Special Victims. So
you have a great example going forward. And you just kind of decided to look into it? Is that...
Well, just kind of following in my brother and sister-in-law's path. They seem to love their job, and they seem to always, you know, be doing something they enjoyed. So I kind of wanted to jump in that and be able to enjoy that as well.
Yeah. We are talking with Chief Charlie Vasquez, the Assistant Chief of Police with the Houston Police Department, and with Professional Development Command, and Officer Jesse Medina. Jesse, you are now a full-fledged police officer. You went through the academy. Tell me what that was like, being an amputee. What it was like, not just qualified that way, but right. Tell me about it.
Going through, you know, we've been through being a prior military. We've been through boot camp. We've been through, you know, extreme conditions. So,
So this would be nothing
for most. Most of the military guys, you know, we're kind of... It wasn't the worst we've been through, but I could definitely tell on my classmates that haven't gone through anything prior to this. It's definitely a culture shock. You know, going from your regular work environment to a paramilitary training, that's the style they try to do as far as for discipline and, so we can get professionals out there. So it's definitely a culture shock for them. But like I said, I had a good time, learned some good stuff, and just reiterate on some stuff that I already knew as well. So.
Yeah.
I can tell you too, Susie, I would go out there and do PT with the cadets, and they did their 2-hour PT days, and Jesse's running circles around with one leg. He just runs circles around. I'll tell you one story in particular. We ran about a mile and a half, and we're doing calisthenics, and his prosthetic leg kind of got in the way doing calisthenics, so he just took it off and did his jumping jacks out of leg and his push-ups out of leg, and then when it's time to run, he just strapped it back on and just went right on doing it again.
I'm like, wow.
Man, just very impressive. Very impressive young man he is.
So when you showed up, did your classmates all know? Tell me about that.
Not until basically after the first week, our lead instructor asked me if I wanted to share it. So I'm not really ashamed of it it doesn't bother me one bit. I like to wear shorts all the time, so it's no bother to me. So I just kind of announced it to the class, and I don't think they fully understood up until the next week when we did our PT, or I think that Friday. I had one leg, so they were like, "Okay, fair enough." Other than that, after that, it just kind of went away. I mean, I'm able to joke about it, and it's no bother at all.
Yeah. So, Chief Charlie, when they called you and they asked about getting him in the academy, was there, and there was initially some, I guess, trepidation on their part. Did they come in and tell you, "Hey, it's going to be fine," or did they kind of look at him closely, or tell me about that?
Well, they were just... we've never had it before, something new. And so they didn't know what to do. And, like, just process them. I have a soft spot for veterans in my heart. I'm the highest-ranking veteran in the Houston Police Department. So, to me, it means a lot. I always like to, help the veterans out where we can. So, but he was a Marine. He can handle it.
Yeah, and got right in there, and it was like nothing.
No problem. We had a couple of issues. Only real problem was with driving.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. But we got that sorted out, and he's just fine.
Yeah. I guess that it would be shocking to some crook that you're running down too when you tackle him, and then
it's gonna happen one day. Sure.
That'll be interesting when it does happen. Yeah.
There is a cops episode with that in Florida where a one-legged police officer chased down a crook and then he made fun of him after he caught him. And I've seen him run. He could do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Well, that's truly awesome. So now that you are officer, how long have you been working? When did you graduate?
So we graduated, I believe, January 11th or so. So we've been on going on, I believe, 3 months, give or take, that we've actually been on the streets. And I have a few more months before we actually get off probation.
Yeah. So this is a great story, a very unique story, but I guess the bigger picture is that you're really looking hard at veterans and bringing them in. They make great officers, do they?
They do. Usually they're the ones that take the leadership roles in the academy. You know, there is some drill and ceremony and some discipline that needs to be instilled, and so our veterans usually, they assume that leadership role.
Naturally.
And it's just a natural fit. You know, they have the discipline, the drive, they know how to suffer. They know how to get comfortable being uncomfortable, where a lot of people who come from a college environment may not really get that.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about this American Law Enforcement Heroes Act that you are working on with Senator John Cornyn. You are trying to get some sort of a movement going to, I guess, help the process along. Tell me about that.
Sure. There's something that's called COPS grants. Where the federal government, they'll give a stipend to a police department to hire officers. And the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act, it kind of amends that act that it will specifically give a stipend to hire veterans. And not that we need any stipend, that we'd always hire a veteran, but it kind of also gets the attention out there and puts that idea in veterans' head who may have never thought about being a police officer before.
Yeah. So tell me about the classes. Typically, how many people are you putting in classes now?
65 to 75. As a matter of fact, I just came from the academy just now, cadet class 232. Today's just not opening day for the Astros. It's opening day for the HPD. Cadet class 232 started today. We started with 67. Originally, we had about 72, but sometimes people drop out last minute. They get cold feet for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 26-week-long program. It'll challenge you intellectually. It'll challenge you physically. It'll challenge you emotionally. But when you graduate, you would have earned that badge.
Yeah. Typically, how many do graduate?
We usually lose about 5 to 10% from the first day of the academy to the last day of field training. So some of them in the first week, they realize it's not for them, and that's okay. It's okay. And then some just can't keep up with the academics or the PT, or some on training just can't make it. So we usually lose about 5 to 10% per class.
If somebody is out, can they come back and reapply and get back in? Maybe their physical they're not ready yet, so they go and they get ready and then come back. Can they do that?
They can. Matter of fact, we had one cadet who was in New York, grew up in New York, and so never drove.
That's the one thing, couldn't drive.
They don't drive and had some real problems with the driving. And so she's been out about 6 months, so she got a job with the police department as a public service officer. And now we're putting her back to the academy again.
Yeah, I had a godson who went through it in California and couldn't pass the physical part, and went out and just buckled down and got down to where he had to do it, and he did it, and he came back, and right. Now he's an officer. So tell me about some of the requirements to get in, because there are a few. Jesse, you alluded to the long application. Tell me about that.
Sure. We're covered under what's called Chapter 143 of the Local Government Code, and we are the only police department in Texas that our basic requirements are codified in law. Everybody else's is in policy. And so the law provides that in order to join the Houston Police Department, you have to have 60 hours of college. If you have 48, you'll get another 12 for going through the academy, so that counts towards that. You have to have military with an honorable discharge or 5 years prior law enforcement.
Do you have to have the college and the military, or just the college, or just the military?
One or the other.
One or the other.
When I came in, I had 47 hours, so I didn't quite make that threshold, but I had the military, so I came in under the military.
Okay. And ages?
Have to be at least 20 and a half, and you can't be older than 44 and a half. And again, that's part of the law with just HPD, that you can't be over 45 to take the initial oath of office.
Okay. And citizenship?
Right now, you have to have U.S. citizenship, but there's a bill going through. The legislator is probably going to pass that if you have residency, you'll be able to join the police department.
And then tell me about the criminal background, criminal history. There are, I guess that with the increase in, I guess, the stricter standards for kids, like in school and things, a lot of times kids, juveniles, will have an infraction, whereas, you know, back in your day, they just let you go. But right. So can you have some past discretion or indiscretions? Tell me about that.
You can as a juvenile. You can't have ever been convicted of a Class A misdemeanor or a felony. And if you have a Class B misdemeanor within the past 10 years, then you're excluded. And then for juveniles, it's a little different depending on what it was and when it was.
Right. So you don't have to be perfect.
Right. No. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been here.
And you, of course, have the physical agility test.
Correct.
Which you just passed with flying colors, Jesse.
The actual physical agility was the hardest part for me. The run was good. Everything else, but that little agility run was kind of a pain.
Oh, yeah.
Still managed to get it done, though.
Oh, is that the course out there at the training academy going
on?
No,
this is actually a set of cones. So you start in a prone position, you get up and you run down. I think it's 30 feet, run back, and then you serpentine through the cones and come back. And you have to do it in 18.2 seconds, and it's a challenge.
Yeah, and then of course a good driver's license and driving record.
Correct.
And credit history. Interesting.
Yes, you have to have good credit. Doesn't matter if you had bad credit before. You have to be up to date with all your payments now. You can't be in collections.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then one of the interesting things was the tattoo policy, which I know that the chief just kind of relaxed for the summertime. Tell me about that.
Right, he did. You can't have any tattoos that are visible in the uniform, but it looks like we're kind of moving away from that, although you're not going to be able to have any tattoos on your face or on your neck. Anything like that. No offensive tattoos, and of course no tattoos that appear to have some gang nexus to them.
Right, but they're, because of the summertime, sometimes an arm or a leg tattoo will stick out a little bit or whatever, and he's like, that's right. Okay, because it gets hot. And
yeah, and you know, we have to adjust our standards to modern times. You know, there was a time in, I wouldn't have got on, you had to be over 5'6". I wouldn't have made it, you know. Back when Harry Caldwell was the chief, if you lived with the member of the opposite sex not being married, they wouldn't take you. So standards of society changed, and our standards changed a little bit as well.
Yeah, and tattoos are pretty prevalent now. With,
they are.
With,
they absolutely
with,
are.
Yeah, with you guys. Tell me a little bit about the lateral class you were talking about. You told me about that earlier. Is that the one that just started?
It's going to start in August.
Okay.
Have lateral class. So if you're a law enforcement officer now in Texas, call us, check us out on the website, hpdcareer.com. You said I was going to forget it. I did, didn't I?
No, you did great.
hpdcareer.com, just in case I didn't get that right. I always get it mixed up with the foundation website.
Right.
But if you have 3 years, if you have, this gets a little confusing.
Okay. All
if
right.
If you have college and you have 3 years as law enforcement, then we'll take you in lateral. Otherwise, you have to have 5 years prior law enforcement.
Got it.
Right.
So if this was interesting to me. I just thought that if you were a police officer somewhere, you could just transfer in and be a police officer.
No.
But you can't do that.
Right, no. Yeah, because we know every police department has their own policies and their own culture, you know, our own values that, you know, our values of honor, integrity, respect, and that's drilled in everything we do through the police academy. And so with us, no. Some other departments might, smaller departments. But, you know, we try our best every day to be the professional law enforcement agency in the country, and therefore we want you to come through our academy.
So how long is that for the lateral class?
That's 8 weeks, 9 weeks? It's 9 weeks.
So if somebody's a police officer somewhere else, but they want to come, they have to, they go 9 weeks without working and have to take the lateral class. Is that how that works?
Well, you take the lateral class. You'll be get paid while you're in the lateral class.
Oh, okay.
You'll get paid, and you'll get paid what we call a senior police officer pay. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more than what the initial cadet makes.
Yeah. Tell me how many people apply that, and then how many people actually pass the requirements to get in?
About 1 out of 5 make it.
Okay.
About 1 out of 5 meet all the requirements. Yeah.
And do you get applications from people who don't meet all the requirements?
We do. Some are, you know, they don't meet the basic requirements. Some, as they go along the way, things are discovered in their background check. You know, sometimes people lie to us, and they lie to us about things that wouldn't have disqualified them. But once you lie to us, we can't hire you.
Right. We are talking with CA Charlie Vasquez, the Assistant Chief of Police, Houston Police Department Professional Development Command, and Officer Jesse Medina, and talking about how HPD is working to expand the workforce. One of the things that you are really looking for is women. Not you specifically,
no,
Charlie.
No, I got a wife, 29 years. Honey, I'm not looking for women, honey.
But the department is seriously looking for women. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. We know population's about 51% women, about 49% men. But in law enforcement, there's a big discrepancy. Nationwide, it's about 11% females. Houston Police Department's above the average at about 18%. But we're always looking for females, always looking for, you know, diversify the department.
Yeah. Jesse, your sister-in-law's an officer.
Correct. Yeah, she's an investigator with the Special Victims, works out of downtown.
And how did she get involved? Do you know?
As far as for the investigative side?
Just how did she decide to be?
Her and my brother actually went through the academy together and then pretty much started their career together.
Uh-huh. And so, were they already married then?
Yes, ma'am.
They were, okay. So that's cool. You had a couple going through the academy at the same time.
We usually have, there's always one couple that gets married.
Oh, yeah.
That meets in the academy, yeah.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about how... when the women come through, are there different physical requirements, things like that, or is it straight across the board, everybody's got to do the same thing?
Straight across the board, same thing. The physical fitness test is the same, academics is the same, shooting's the same, driving's the same, everything's the same.
Yeah. What about, do you get a lot of women from the military?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. We get a lot of women from the military, just the same. And like I say, it's a natural fit. You see the leadership from day one when they join the academy, our former military.
Yeah. And when we were talking about the American Law Enforcement Heroes Act that you're working on with Senator John Cornyn, this is still in the process of going through. It hasn't gone through. You said that you wanted to get some support. How can people support that?
Correct. They could write their local legislator, federal legislator, and show their support for the act. Not just Senator Cornyn, but wherever your legislator's at your congressperson.
Okay. Tell me about the different opportunities in the police department, because I know that there are lots of different things that people can go to if they have special interests. I had a girlfriend who was interested in being on the mounted police squad, I guess you would say. Tell me about the different kinds of opportunities there are there.
Absolutely. With the that's one of the big good things about being in a department as big as ours. There's some other departments that, you know, maybe small departments that'll pay you more, but here there's so much more opportunities. You can, if you go 25-year career, you can do a different assignment every year and never repeat. I mean, you know, you can stay in patrol, canines, mounted patrol, helicopters, marine enforcement unit, lake patrol. Mounted patrol, I don't know if I said that, the different investigative divisions, homicide, juvenile, robbery detectives, you can promote, on and on. There's just so many different opportunities.
Yeah, SWAT and bomb squad and everything.
SWAT, forgot the SWAT guys. Sorry, SWAT guys.
Don't forget the SWAT guys.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
I've been getting real trouble with them. So you're not ever going to get bored.
You can't. And it's like I tell all the young officers that, you know, if you find a job that you love doing, the Houston Police Department, it's your dream job, do it for a couple of years and go on and do something else. Don't get stuck there. There's so many more opportunities, so many more things to do.
And tell me about the promotion. There's a lot of opportunity to promote in HPD.
Absolutely. To take the promotion test to sergeant, you have to have 5 years on, and then after that, 2 years time and grade, and you can continue to promote, you know, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and then after that, it's an appointment by the chief of police.
Yeah. Tell me about the starting salary and benefits.
Starting salary. We do have starting salary. As a cadet, you can make between $42,000 and $46,000 a year, depending on if you have prior law enforcement, college, or whatever. And a first and third year officer can make between $53,000 and $81,000 a year. We'll pay you for college. We'll pay you reimbursement for college. So if you want to attend college while you're here, bilingual pay. Just a whole bunch of different ways to augment your salary, your basic salary.
Yeah, and it goes up into three figures.
It can, yes, it absolutely can.
And then you get the insurance and all that stuff too. So
insurance, good benefits. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear that day because your clothes are already picked out for you. That's a good thing.
Unless you're Vice.
Yeah, right. That doesn't matter anyway. You're wearing stinky clothes all week anyway. So.
Right. So if somebody is interested and they're wanting to apply, how do they do that?
Well, you can visit our website first, hpdcareer.com. Fill out an interest card, and we will contact you back. Or you can visit the recruiting office at 801 Milam. Which is Milam and Travis downtown. But probably the easiest way is to just contact us on our website, fill out an interest card, and we will have somebody call you back.
If somebody's interested and they might have an issue with one of the requirements, right. Maybe the credit history is not so great, right. Or something, can you help them out? Give them guidance for that?
Don't self-select yourself out of the process. Come in and we'll see what we can do. We can work with a lot of things. There's a lot of things we can work with. But if you just decide on your own that you're not going to apply, we can't help you with that.
Right. So, just like Jesse, just like you called and said, hey, this might be an issue. What do you think?
Right.
And so because if you're looking for people, you should be helping the people that are looking to get in there.
Right. And we know people aren't perfect. We know, we've all done things in the past that we wish we wouldn't have. We have some limits on certain drugs, time limits. If that time has passed, you're probably okay. So different issues we can work with.
And one of the cool things that you do is the Run with a Recruiter. Tell me about that really quick.
Every other Friday, Memorial Park, come on out, meet your recruiters, practice the PT test, come out and run and meet the police officers, see if it's something that you really want to do.
Yeah, because if you have a question about that, that's the best place to go out and check it out and see what it's like.
That's it. Memorial Park, 7 a.m. every other Friday.
Every other Friday.
Like I say, if you check our website, it'll be on there.
Yeah. Officer Medina, you've been on the force now for a few months. Tell me what what's the best part about it. What do you love about it?
Just the interesting interactions you have with the citizens every single day. There's not one day where I haven't been able to laugh at just because, like I said, you meet a lot of interesting people and just you talk to some people and they make you laugh because good people, bad people, everything. There's just always something new, something to keep the job fresh. So it's definitely keeps you interested.
Well, I have to say, I would not have guessed that the answer would be if there's a lot of laughs.
There is.
Yeah. I bet.
Good stories. You got a front row seat to the greatest show on earth.
That's right. And a lot of camaraderie and a lot of good satisfaction. And thank you very much for everything that you both do. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks. You've been listening to FYI.